Well, I was away last week because I had spent time with grandchildren and I didn't want to prepare a sermon, right? So, I mean, that's, you have to spend your time with your grandchildren doing all the things you do. And I'm going to be away the next two Sundays. I'll be here all this week, but I'm going to leave next Sunday morning. Harry and I are going to fly to Michigan to go back to the Keweenaw, which is the Upper Peninsula's Little Finger, way out there in the... We're going for the reunion of the community where my great-grandmother was born, and her mother and grandmother also lived for about 20 years. And since my great-grandmother wrote the family story, we're going out to kind of explore it. We're going on Sunday, and our son Luke and his daughter Rosie are going to join us midweek, and I am renting a miner's house for us to live in, which may have actually been the house or next door to the house where my great-grandmother grew up. Anyway, we'll see. Anyway, I won't be here the next two Sundays. But I wanted you to know that when I'm away, I still find myself thinking about and kind of focusing on you. Because you're my worshiping community. So I find myself thinking about who you are and what kinds of things you're facing and who among you needs prayer. Probably all of us need prayer. And how we support one another spiritually. And I also think about and am aware of how you lift me up. Because you pray for me. Sometimes you tell me that you're praying for me, but I can feel that you do. And I'm grateful for that. Just as I think all of you are grateful for the support of our church family. What would it be like not to have a church family? Well, this past week, while I was off doing grandchildren stuff and all, I found myself pondering our special music from the week before when Terry Meredith played Only Jesus Can Satisfy Your Soul. He played it and sang it for us, and we thank him for that. And the words had kind of stuck with me. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only he can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul. I pondered that some and the beautiful way that Terry shared it with us, that piece of music and those words and those ideas. And then when the scripture came up, I found myself thinking that that's what this lawyer is talking about, isn't it? He comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I think he's asking, how can I get right with God? How can I deal with the things that I've done so badly wrong? How can I find forgiveness for those things that truly need to be forgiven? How can I find peace? Those are the ways that I would frame the question that I think this lawyer is saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I ask those kinds of questions with our people on my heart. I think about Mary Ellen and her family as they face, and as we face, the reality of cancer and the treatments that she will be facing. And not just Mary Ellen, but others among us. Daisy and her family, I think of them with weeks of health issues resulting from a fall and not done yet, as she's trying to put her life back together. I think of Pete Ingram with that car accident leaving his life and Shirley's all cattywampus. My computer didn't know how to spell that. Cattywampus or kittywampus or I don't know. That's right. That's right. And I also think about the pastor nominating committee that are working so hard and faithfully and diligently to provide spirit-led leadership for this congregation for the years to come. And if you think about them and lift them up in prayer, you also think about and lift up the people, the candidates that they have considered and have talked to and are praying about, because that's all part of the picture, isn't it? So with all the other things on our hearts, all of that, we bring to God. And then we come before Jesus, asking him to answer our questions. And in the words of Terry's song, to change our hearts and make us whole, to satisfy our souls. For as Terry said in his song, only Jesus can give us that peace. So our mission team came home yesterday from their work in the Florida Panhandle, and they've shared a little bit about that, and you're going to go over there and watch the pictures, I know. In them, we see how our faith sends us forth and helps us to reach out to others in need, those brothers that we might be able to lend a hand. So just like the story Jesus shared with the lawyer, Jesus reminded him to follow the commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If I love my neighbor as myself, that's pretty close. That's pretty close. But what did the lawyer ask? Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And I promise you, if you ask that question in your life, the answer will change time after time, decade after decade, experience after experience. Who is the neighbor God is sending you to love? When I was a kid, we used to act that out, and we had these, what did we call them? Beatniks. Remember, we made the beatnik was the Samaritan. And then it was the hippie. And then it was the guy like Jesse with all the tattoos. You don't have a lot of tattoos, Jesse, but they're all over the place. You know, somebody who might not be like me, you can add some more, I'm sure. Right. Yeah, now I've gone to meddling. I'm sorry. Okay, I take it back. But pay attention to this, that in the parable Jesus told, it is the one they hated who provided for the man's care. Notice that? It was the Samaritan, and Jews hated Samaritans. They wouldn't talk to Samaritans. They wouldn't eat with Samaritans. They didn't want to go into a Samaritan village. But it is the Samaritan that provided the care. And when Jesus said, he finishes the story and he says to the lawyer, so who would you say was the neighbor to the man? The lawyer can't even say the Samaritan. He said the one who showed him mercy, the one who helped him. He doesn't even say, oh, the Samaritan did it, because they didn't like to talk about Samaritans. The despised, disdained Samaritan was the one who stopped and helped the injured Jewish man. But for us, it might well be an undocumented immigrant, a teenage mother from Honduras, a man from Mexico, a family of children from El Salvador, bringing us water, binding up our wounds, providing for our care. What would that look like? What would that feel like? How would Jesus get our attention for our actions and for our faith in answering that question, in getting us to think about who is our neighbor? Who would we help? Who might help us? So I don't know. What I do know is that we are invited to come to this table. Each of us. All of us, every one of us, invited to come and be fed through the grace and love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We don't have to be worthy, because Jesus has made us worthy by his own life. So Jesus tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind and soul and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. No matter what it costs us, $20, or maybe a whole lot more. But when we do that, then we will be fed. Then we will find peace for our souls. Then we will find the guidance we need for our lives. So I say to you today, come to the table. Come and be fed. Come and let Jesus satisfy your soul.